you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been trying to fill your voice with the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. Oh, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's your pain taker. If you feel lost, he's your way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's your prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. And if you got pain, he's your pain taker. If you feel lost, he's your way. If you need freedom or saving, he's your prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Well, we've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night, and we've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right, but there's a better life. Oh, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's your pain taker. Oh, and if you feel lost, he's your way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's your prison shaking savior. If you got chain breaker. Well, we've all searched for the light of day in that dead of night, and we've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know that just isn't right, but there's a better life. Oh yes, he brings a better life. And if you got pain, if you feel lost, he's your way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's your prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Oh, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's your pain taker. And if you are lost, he's your way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's your prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's your chain breaker. And if you got pain, he's your pain. Some saving, he's your prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's your chain breaker. Oh, and if you got pain, he's your pain taker. If you feel lost, he's your way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's your prison shaking savior. He's a chain breaker. If you need freedom or saving, he's your He's your chain breaker. Praise the Lord. Just one touch from His hand is all you need. I remember whenever I was so empty, looking for answers, looking for something, somebody to fill the emptiness, the void in my life. And then He found me in my lost condition, and He saved me. And here's what I said over and over again. When I got saved, this is what I've been looking for all my life. You see, there's a part of the human soul, every person that's ever lived on this planet, that's ever breathed oxygen into their lungs, there's a void in their spirit, man, and that void is God. And it'll always be there until they have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. I also want to say that while we're in El Salvador or any country, I always have my phone with me. You're always able to call me, get a hold of me. And obviously, I can't get back within an hour or two if you need me, but I can send somebody to help you. So my phone is always on, and so we're always available. And there'll be a time I don't go as much, but we're getting some things established right now, and we'll be sending teams. We're going to be training teams to send our congregation, and also other churches. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Exodus 12, at this time, children, age 5 to 12. Exodus 12, children from age 5 to 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of souls, every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head, his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let us pray. Lord, again,
We thank you that we can come together, Lord, the body of Christ, neatly and jointly fit together. Lord, we are your body. We ask you, Lord, that you would use us in this last day. Lord, I pray this morning that you would anoint these lips of clay, anoint every ear we can hear what the Spirit would speak to us. I pray, Lord, that you would change hearts and lives today. That's what we're asking, Lord, for miracles. As the Word of God goes forth, I pray that you would bring help, bring conviction, bring life. Do only what you can do this morning, and we ask you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach the simple thought on the blood of the Lamb. I don't believe any controversy in the history of man rages hotter than the heated controversy over the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The Bible clearly teaches that it's only through the blood of the Lamb that your sin-sick soul is going to receive forgiveness, redemption, and that's the only way that you're going to enter into eternal life. Let me make it very clear to you today. Not through your good works, not through what your resume says about your religion, not who you belong to when it comes to your family. No. All of these things do not matter. It's only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only because of his blood are we clean today. Hebrews chapter 9 and 22 says this, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. Yes, this is a bloody gospel. We preach the blood of the cross because there is still power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Can we give him a hand clap of praise today? And thank him for the blood of the cross. Listen, there's only two places that we can go to when we die. There is no purgatory. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings today, but that is not in the Word of God. When you die, you're either right with God or you are lost forever. There is a heaven to gain, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a little bit excited about heaven, but there's also a hell to shun. Jesus himself preached on hell twice as much as he preached on heaven. Yes, the Bible gives a very vivid description of hell. Jesus said, it's a place where the fire is never quenched. The worm never dies. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The agony of hell is going to be tremendous. And it never ends. Listen, if hell was only 1 million years, there would be hope. Yes, 1 million years in hell, it'll be over with. But never does hell end. Listen, the only way you're going to escape the damnation of hell is get the precious blood of Jesus applied to your sin sick soul. I don't care how away from God you are today. I don't care the wickedness that you have committed in the secret place or in the public place. I'm going to tell you, you haven't gone so far away from the cross of Calvary that his blood can't make you clean today. His blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And we need to shout it upon the rooftop again. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I said it a moment ago. Once you breathe the breath of life, there's a longing in the soul for something the world cannot satisfy. But listen to me, it doesn't matter if you want to die. Suicide is not a way out, ladies and gentlemen. That's a lie that's been tricked by the enemy himself, because you will not die. Your pain will not end whenever you commit suicide. I can tell you this, you'll leave this body, enter into an eternal abyss. Listen, whenever you breathe the breath of life into these nostrils right here, you're never going to die. Do you hear me? The soul lives on forever and ever and ever. Yes, this body's going to go back to the dust of the earth. Yes, I'm going to die one day. My heart's going to beat its last beat. I'm going to breathe the last time in these lungs. They're going to take in oxygen. But I can tell you, whenever the breath leaves this mortal man, the immortal man, the eternal man is going to live on throughout the eons of time, either in heaven or in hell. Again, there is no purgatory. There is no such thing as just not existing and going to sleep forever. No. The Bible said there's only two places, and thank God that the love of Christ, he came to die for me that I may live forever. That's shouting ground, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have a sad song to sing. We can lift up our hands and rejoice at the mercy of Almighty God. I'm preaching about the blood of the Lamb this morning. The blood of Jesus not only saves the repentant, but it offends and condemns the defiant. Do you hear me today? It not only saves the repentant, but it condemns and it offends and condemns the defiant. Yes, there are churches that say they believe in the blood, but they just don't want to mention it in their teaching and preaching. They say, yeah, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin, but they don't want to talk about it. Why? They call it something that could offend the newcomer. Listen, if the newcomer's offended by the blood, you're lost for eternity because you're not getting out of here alive in your spirit, man. I'm talking about into eternity without the blood of Jesus. Yeah, you'll die the second death, a million deaths over and over again. Yes, some are offended by the blood of the cross. Listen, I'm not offended at the blood of the cross. That blood, the image of the cross, and my Savior dying on an old rugged cross is the most beautiful picture I've ever seen before. Why is that, preacher? Why is that a beautiful thought or a picture that your Jesus died on the cross? Because if he had not gone to that cross, I'd be doomed and damned for eternity. But because Jesus willingly went to that cross and shed his precious blood, I'm going to live forever. I don't understand all the ways of God. I don't understand why he loved me. I don't understand why he loved you. But he did. And you need to accept that today. Some of you have been living under condemnation. Listen, whenever you are walking with Christ, your old sins are old sins. They are thrown in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, he cleanses from all sin. Many are offended at the blood. Others believe that his blood cleanses, but they don't want to talk about it. Others even teach and believe that Jesus is not the only way to eternal life. I say it often. Today, there is a doctrine of non-absolutes. That means that they say that there are many ways to heaven, and there are just different ways of thinking. Everybody's got an idea, and your idea is right. Listen, we are not living in a democracy in the kingdom of God. A democracy means everybody has an opinion and you're right. You can vote for whoever you want or whatever you want. It's not that way in the kingdom of God. It is a theocracy. That is, thus saith the Lord God Jehovah of Israel. It is not my way, what I want. It's what God wants. And I can tell you, if that offends people, you'll have to answer to God one day. Everybody wants Jesus as Savior, but not everybody wants him as Lord. If he's not Lord of your life, that means the controller, he is not Savior of your life. You can't give God just a part-time relationship. No, he's got to control everything. He's got to be everything in the morning, in the afternoon, and at nighttime. You can't just be a Christian on Sunday morning. You got to be a Christian 365 days of the week, 7 days of the week, or 365 days of the year. Got ahead of myself. 7 days in a week, 52 weeks of the year. Amen. It's got to be every day. Listen, I don't want to miss out on the greatest event that's ever going to take place. What is that, preacher? It is the rapture, the catching away of the church. And I'm going to tell you, the signs of the times are everywhere all around us. It's kind of getting me excited. Sometimes it gets me vexed a little bit when I see all the corruption. I'm just kind of like Jude. Lord, I'm vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Yeah, I get vexed vexed in my spirit a little bit, but when I see these things, I do what Jesus told me to do. He said, when you see all of these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Harvest Time Church, those watching by Facebook, I'm going to encourage you to look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back very soon to catch away his church. But you must be washed in the blood. We should be frightened of a Christless, crossless, bloodless church. That would be a perfect church for Satan himself. Don't talk about the blood. Listen, why is that? Why would it be perfect for Satan? Because Satan's greatest undoing is someone who's washed in the blood, claims the blood, lives according to the word of God, and pleads the blood of Jesus. Satan hates the blood. Let me say it to you again. The devil hates the blood. The devil hates the cross. He hates it. Why? Because it is his undoing. Some of us this morning are living beneath our means. We're allowing the enemy to run roughshod over us. Hear me, church. We have more power than the devil today. Why? Because greater is he who lives within us, you and I, than he that is in the world. We don't need to allow the enemy to do whatever he wants to us. We can claim the blood. Most of us don't want to die to self, but death is required for those of us who would live in eternity. The bloodied lamb left no room for debate or self-justification. Matthew 10:38. And he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Let me say it without fear of contradiction today, that whenever you and I get saved, we come into the walk with God, your identity has to leave. It ain't going to be my personality. I was like this when you married me, or this is how I am. You're trying to change me. No, you better change, because Christianity is all about change. John the Baptist, the greatest man ever born of woman, the Bible says, he said this, I must decrease, he must increase. I must decrease, he must increase. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to lose this life, my own ambitions. And I'm going to tell you something, this carnal mind, this flesh has a lot of ambition. It wants to do its own thing. It conjures up all these great plans and ideas. We are ambitious people. We want what we want. Whenever we want to eat, I want to tell you something. That's why we fast so much, to crucify this flesh. Sometimes my wife looks at me and she says, you know, to go get you some biscuits and eggs. You know what that means? That means you got a bad attitude. I'm going to tell you, my flesh, this flesh has got to die. We want to come into the controlling seat. We don't want to die. We want to live. We want our way. Listen, this is the very foundation, fundamental principles of Christianity. We are to die to self and live the life of another. I am not to live my own life for myself. No, I am to live the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. The whole idea of Christianity is exchanging one life for another, my life for his. Listen, if I don't die to my own ambition, my own way, my own ideas, he cannot live within me. And Jesus said, I'm going to repeat it again, Matthew 10:38. He that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I don't have a fixation on that book that was written by the Houston pastor, Your Best Life Now. That is completely anti-scripture. Your best life now? Jesus said if you find your life now, you're going to lose your life. But if you lose your life, you will find it. Listen, everything we do is an investment into eternity. Everything that I'm doing right now, am I working my way to heaven? No, I'm saved by the blood of the cross. Why do I work? Because I am saved. James says, you show me your faith by your works. I will show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. And then he uses the illustration. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Does that mean that I'm working my way into heaven? Absolutely, positively not. I can't work my way into heaven, but works, the idea of proving it is a genuine test if I'm really walking with God in intimacy. Make no mistake about it. There will be evidence. There will be fruit on your tree when you're washed in the blood. Listen, when I got saved, my cusser got saved. I mean to tell you, I was a filthy mouth. Sinners didn't want to be around me. That's bad. But I can tell you, you know what James said? Sweet water and bitter water cannot flow out of the same fountain, neither can cursing and praising. Are you a cussing Christian? I can tell you, you need to go to the altar and repent. It's probably because you've been around it so much and you've been filling your mind with the TV that uses profanity instead of the Word of God. Let me tell you, sweet water and bitter water cannot flow out of the same fountain, neither can cursing and praising. Listen, we're all familiar with this story in Exodus. And it's a beautiful picture of the blood. It's a beautiful picture of the cross and the things that the blood does for us. The plagues that rocked Egypt had failed to shake Pharaoh's stubborn determination to hold on to the Hebrews. You know the story. All the plagues were sent because Moses had come to Pharaoh and by the word of God, let my people go. Pharaoh hardened his heart. So God sent the plagues. Plague after plague after plague came. And he still did not let God's people go. The Lord spoke to Moses and commanded every Israelite to do something. There was a last plague. The final plague was going to be sent. The death angel was going to come into Egypt and kill every firstborn of every household. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a word from God that everyone, there were millions of people in Egypt, everybody, the oldest one, that means, think about it, who's the oldest child in the family? It didn't matter if it was the child of that house or the child that had already become an adult, the oldest in every house, the firstborn, the death angel was going to come in and kill every and all of the firstborn. The Lord spoke to Moses and commanded every Israelite household in Goshen to slay a lamb without blemish and to apply its blood with a bunch of hyssop to the doorpost and lintels of the homes. I want you to picture this, how crazy this must have been, seeing the visual picture of outside of every home in Israel, a lamb dead outside the door. They took the blood, they put it in a basin, and they filled the basin up and then they dipped the hyssop and begin to strike it on the doorposts and the lintels of the door. Can you imagine what this looked like? I'm going to tell you, we don't think about these details very often, but it's not something that would be an average sight here. Listen, they were to place the blood. The Bible says whenever they placed the blood upon the doorpost and the lintels, the Lord would send the death angel that night. And whenever he seen the blood, the Bible said he would pass over them. Aren't you glad for that today? Oh, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Picture it again in your mind's eye on the side of the door and the lintels of the door. And he said there was a command given in Exodus 12 and 22. After they were to place the blood upon the doorpost, the whole family was to go inside that house and they were to stay in the house till morning. Can you picture a dad putting his chair in front of that door or filling it up with something that would just in case in the middle of the night the children wanted to go outside or they forgot? That dad or that mom, they knew that if they left that covering of the blood, they're in danger. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe in once saved, always saved, because the Bible doesn't teach that. You can leave the covering of God. He won't leave you, but you can leave him. It said, stay in the house till morning. What did that mean? That mean if you crossed that bloodline, the death angel was going to kill you and your blood would be on your own head. Oh, come on, church. Listen, it's time that we get serious with God. Some of us could be on the very threshold of eternity, and he's calling out to us to stay in the house till morning. That means this: we are saved, We are being saved and we're going to be saved. That is something that is current and it's going to be continuous in our life if we stay in the house till morning. Let me say it another way. Don't leave the relationship with Christ. Don't cross the bloodline. Listen to me, there's power in the blood. Listen, but he's not going to go against your own free will. Don't cross the bloodline. Don't go out there and pull a drunk and then dine and expect that you're going to enter in the kingdom of heaven, because my Bible said no drunkard's going to enter in the kingdom of heaven. No, no, no. We've got to stay in the house till morning. Don't let temptation come your way and think, well, I'll just do it one more time, then I'll repent, make it right. No, no, no. You're playing eternal Russian roulette with your eternal soul. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not worth it to stay in the house until morning. Don't you cross the bloodline. Then God explained the death angel was coming. Listen, we tend to forget every house in Egypt that didn't have the blood applied suffered the death of that firstborn child. Can you imagine what they went through in Egypt? Cries throughout every part of that land, screaming whenever their child was dead in that home. I don't know what it looked like. I don't know if there was a bloody mess or if they just lost their life and they just lay on the floor. But I do know that every one of the firstborn died in Egypt. There is something about the blood of the Lamb. Hear me. Hear me, there's something about this blood, this precious blood, that attracts Almighty God. God is pleased with the blood. The blood unleashes God's highest thoughts, his emotions, and his power. You say, that sounds kind of strange. Well, listen, there's a lot in this Bible that does not relate to the carnal way of thinking. But let me tell you something. God is well pleased with the blood, because man sinned in that garden. When sin entered into man, there had to be an atonement. It was just a spotless lamb, an animal, and then Jesus became the eternal lamb. Blood, it unleashes the highest thoughts, the emotions, and the power of God. Hear me. If you want the power of God, power for man and power against Satan, it all comes through the blood of the Lamb. There's power in the blood. An interesting side note is the death angel was the same angel that was sent from God. The death angel was the angel sent from God, but not even God's angel could cross the bloodline. Oh, listen, that excites me today, because if God's angel can't cross the bloodline, that makes me know that the devils in hell, the angels from hell, the demons also cannot cross the bloodline. That ought to make you excited today. Exodus 12 reveals three specific benefits of the blood. First of all, the blood protected them. Aren't you glad for the protection of the blood? Second, the blood delivered them. We were delivered by the blood. Number three, the blood purged them from their past Egyptian history. And guess what? It does the same for us. Not only does it cleanse me, but the blood identifies me, it protects me, it gives me power over the prince of the power of the air. I'm telling you today, there's power in the precious blood of the Lamb. The sacrificed lamb even provided supernatural healing and health for the Israelites. You've heard me say it. Everything that we have need of is in the atonement. Through the cross, we have everything that we have need of. We have divine healing through the atonement. We now can have access to God and enter straight into the most holy place and receive the power of God's Spirit because of the blood. I'm telling you, there's protection. Everything we have need of is through the blood. The sacrificed lamb even provided supernatural healing and health for the Israelites. Their deliverance prefigured much of what Christ did on the cross. The psalmist David declared there was not one sick person among them when they left Egypt. Can you imagine that? Now, 3.5 million people were in Egyptian bondage. 3.5 Israelites is what the scholars say were there. And you mean to tell me that not one single person had a back problem? You ever seen them people that say, the Lord's telling me that somebody's got a back problem in here? Everybody over 30's got a back problem. Can I get a witness in this house? But can you imagine not one single person having a back problem, a headache, arthritis, cancer, or a disability due to deformed limbs, or all of these issues with your muscles, or a nervous system issue? You say, well, preacher, I just don't know if I can believe that. When you don't believe the word of God, there was not one feeble among them. How does this take place, Brother Matt? How was it whenever they made their exodus out of Egypt? Did they all have healthy bodies, no sickness, no cancer, no headaches? I was fixing to say no mother or father-in-laws, but that's not the truth. When the time for exodus came, every descendant of Abraham walked out from under Egypt's shadow of bondage by the power of the blood of the Lamb. Brother Matt, how did this take place? Here's what I believe. I believe that that night, the blood being on the side post of the door, the lintel of the door, when the death angel came, he saw the blood and he went away. Every house that had the blood applied, they were protected by the blood. But I believe that right after that, we know, according to the word, that they made their exodus out of Egypt. Why is it that no feeble or sick was among them? Was this the case right before the blood was on the houses? I don't believe that. I believe that it's a type of the cross of Calvary. Jesus took the stripes upon his back. I believe whenever they crossed over that door, I believe that they were healed. That's what I believe, because the Bible said when they left, there wasn't one feeble among them. Oh, listen to me. God is able. Can you imagine? Don't you think someone said, what are we going to do about Grandpa? He's so bent over, he can't walk across the room, let alone get out of Egypt. And then they heard the sound, snap, crackle, pop. Healed by the blood, by the atonement. Listen, I believe that that's exactly what took place. You can believe what you want, but the Bible does say when they left, there wasn't one feeble among them. That means they were all physically healed. Oh, listen, can you imagine what happened to those that suffered with twisted limbs all their lives? Whenever they were commanded to get out of Egypt, I don't believe that they walked out of Egypt. I believe they danced out of Egypt. I believe that they just thought, if I could ever be whole. Well, God made them whole, and they made their way out of Egypt. Somebody in this house, you need a healing in your body today. The blood of Jesus has already paid for your healing. Well, what about this? And what about this person? I can't explain all the ways of God and the where's and the why's, but I do know this, that God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a healer back then. He's still a healer today. And we can be healed by the power of the blood. There's power in the blood. God's first instruction was this: slay a lamb and apply the blood to the doorpost and the lintel of the door. If you read the scriptures, you will notice that if a family was too small or poor to afford a lamb to kill for the blood on the doorpost, they could share the lamb and its blood with a neighbor. Aren't you glad we can share the lamb? Aren't you glad that there's enough of Jesus to go around for everybody? And he is no respecter of persons. He won't leave you out. He don't forget about you. No, there's enough room for everybody. Aren't you glad we can share the lamb? But the interesting thing was that the reverse was not true. Larger families were not required to kill more lambs. The blood of one lamb was sufficient, whether it was to cover a family of five or a family of 15, let me tell you, he is sufficient. Only one drop of his blood. Well, Brother Matt, I was a very wicked person. Don't you think I need a little bit more? I'm going to tell you there's power in one drop to make the vilest sinner clean. And we need to go ahead and accept that or reject that, because that is the way of the Word of God. That is the foundation and fundamental principles of the Word of God, that there is power. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Can you imagine the Israelites as they watch these crazy, or the Egyptians watch these crazy Israelites take blood with a hyssop and splatter the door? They thought, man, these guys are crazy. This world thinks you're crazy. This world thinks you're crazy until judgment comes. Until we have to stand before the Almighty God. I'm going to tell you something. I might be a little wild as a Christian because I am a radical. I know what sin tastes like. I know how wicked it is to be away from God. I know the powers and the strongholds of the enemy. Yes, I am a radical Christian because I was lost and undone without God. I couldn't free myself, but one day the Holy Ghost came and dealt with me, and then as I repented, He, the Holy Ghost, applied the blood of Jesus to my sin. So I want to tell you, I instantaneously felt the difference in my soul. I said, this is what I've been looking for all my life. I am clean. I am clean. I am clean. Yes, I was on drugs. I did the alcohol. I was a sinner. But when the blood touched me, listen, I don't care if you've been saved for 15 years and you've entered into some kind of a sin on the side. It's time to repent of that sin and get the blood applied to your soul. God is merciful, and He will forgive and He will cleanse. God uses a unique word to describe the importance of the blood of those lambs in Egypt on the first Passover. He said, the blood shall be a sign or a token for you. A token is a small part, a sign or a symbol of something greater. Think about that. This blood shall be a token. Everything in the Old Testament points to the New Testament. The Old Testament points to the cross, and if you get in Revelation, everything points back to the cross because Jesus did it all on the cross. Do you hear what I'm saying today? The blood shall be a sign or a token of something greater to come. Think about it. If just the mere token of the blood of the Lamb accomplished what it did in Egypt before the birth, sacrificial death, and resurrection of Christ, what must the real thing do for us? What would the blood of Jesus Christ do for us? I can tell you what it will do. It will drive away devils. It will cleanse a sin-sick soul. It will heal a broken body. It will protect you from the harm of the enemy. The precious blood of Jesus. Listen to me. I still claim the blood. I still plead the blood because there is power in the blood. The old timers used to say this. I plead the blood. You know what they were saying? I'm crying out to something greater than anything in religion, anything in the heavens. I plead the blood. Devil, I don't come in my own power, my own strength, but I come in the name that is greater than any name. Let me tell you something. Even Michael, the archangel, did not rebuke the enemy in Jude. The Bible says that Michael said, the Lord rebukes you. I'm going to tell you, I don't come in my name or your name or Harvest Time Church or Pentecost. I come in the mighty name of Jesus. And at the mighty name of Jesus and the power of the blood, demons still tremble. We must plead the blood again. Listen, we need to plead the blood because there's power in the blood. We need to restore it to our Christian vocabulary because there's still power in the blood. Plead the blood over your family. Plead the blood over your mind. Plead the blood over your church. Plead the blood. Listen, we need to, it's okay to go through your house and anoint your house and plead the precious blood of Jesus. Is your family away from God? Plead the blood. Plead the blood. Satan hates the blood. Brother Taylor tells a story years ago about there was a relative of his that went in the hospital because she was in a state hospital because she said something was trying to kill her in the middle of the night. So they put her in a psychiatric hospital. And one night, while Brother Taylor was sleeping, he says that a demonic spirit as big as a door, a black spirit, came and started choking him in the middle of the night. And Sister Taylor was in a deep sleep, and he tried to call out her name to help him pray. And he could not. It was choking all the life out of him. And he said, he's preached on it years in this church. He said, I couldn't say anything. He said, I tried speaking in tongues, and when I could get a little bit out, it did nothing to this demonic force. He said, but just whenever I could barely breathe, I spoke the name of Jesus. And he said, when I said, Jesus, he said, that thing slammed up against the wall. And he said, I got up and said, in the name of Jesus. And that thing, not only did it slam up against the wall, he said, but it jumped out the window. He said, I realized right then and there, whenever you're already washed in the blood, you're a blood-bought child of God, there is power in the name of Jesus. What he did on the cross already made a show of the devil openly. Listen, you can say his name. Are you saved today, washed in the blood? There is power in the name. We can be like Michael the archangel. I don't come in my own authority, in my own ability. The Lord rebukes you. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And the devil has to run. Well, listen, that's not the rest of the story. The rest of the story was his relative that got admitted into the psychiatric ward. He had had this experience and this thing choke him and it jumped out the window. And he said that I went to visit my relative and he said, she says that something's attacking her and it's driving her crazy. They put her in a psychiatric hospital. He said, when I walked in a room, I saw that same black spirit that attacked me in the middle of the night. And he said, I ran towards it. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And he said, that thing jumped out the window and she got deliverance. Listen, God hasn't just called us to use his name to protect us and our own family. No, we are to protect others. We are to plead the precious blood of Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying today? I'm telling you, there's power in the blood of the Lamb of God. I heard a story about a missionary in Africa. In Africa, demonic spirits everywhere. They worship other idols. Pentecost is moving. The power of God is moving through Africa. But there's so many demonic spirits and so many tribes. And he said they were preaching. And he went home and he said you could feel the oppression. He said he saw something in the middle of the night. Well, his children were in the other room and they all woke up and they began to scream. He said, I just went through that home and I said, I plead the blood of Jesus. He said that thing had to leave. Let me tell you something. The devil cannot read your mind. You got to talk back to the devil, but you better come and you better say it in the name of the Lord. You better make sure you're living according to the word of God. We don't come in our own power, but we come in the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I am no match for the devil, nor are you a match for the devil in yourself. But I'm going to tell you, the man who lives within me, he is no match. Oh, listen, greater is he who lives within us than he that is in the world. The blood protects us. The blood purges us. The blood is victorious. The events of the first Passover prove that even death, the death angel, had to back up when he sees the power of the blood of the Lamb. Can someone come to the piano? The Bible also says the blood speaks. The blood is a living thing here. Life is in the blood, according to the book of Leviticus. In the natural, we know that our blood is living. It's got erythrocytes, leukocytes. It moves throughout that body. It's a living organism. The blood is alive. And he says in Hebrews 12:24, and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh, here it is, the blood speaketh better things than that of Abel. It's telling us something. The blood's talking to us. It's alive. It's powerful. It speaks of the authority of Christ and the power of Christ. He said to Moses, to tell the people of Israel, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Listen, he didn't say when I see your how holy you are. I believe in separation from the world. I believe in living holy and separate. I believe that. I believe in personal convictions. But he didn't say, when I see all your rules and regulations, I'll pass over you. Whenever I see all the times you attend Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'll pass over you. When I see how much money you give on the offering, I'll pass over you. No, that's not what he says. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He didn't say, when I seen your old shouting grandma that we love very much, whoever she is that's maybe in heaven today. He didn't say, when I see her and her righteousness, I'll pass over you. No, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need today. We need to go back to the fundamental principles of the Word of God. Some of us need to repent. Maybe there's some things in your life, but others, you're under condemnation today. And you need to understand there's power in the blood. Brother Matt, I just don't understand how God could forgive me. I know. I don't understand how he could show mercy on me. I know. I feel the same way. But Christianity is all about faith. We don't have to understand everything. Can we stand? We don't have to understand how this thing works. But what we must do is believe the Word of God. Brother Matt, I've failed God. I have failed God too. You need to have confidence in the blood today. You need to have confidence in the blood. I'm going to close with this one thought. Luke often uses the word, when he deals with forgiveness and the blood, he uses the word remission. Jesus himself implied that it was part of what we would consider the apostles' doctrine whenever he talks about repentance and remission. Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. Have you ever heard the concept their cancer is in remission? We've all heard that concept. Now, Luke was a physician that wrote this passage. He understood the terminology remission. Listen, the blood of Jesus, whenever we repent, it forces the works of the flesh into remission. But you've got to make a choice daily. You've got to enforce what God does by your choice. That's why Paul says, I die daily. I'm crucified with Christ. I die daily. He talks about death to self constantly. Repentance and remission. The blood of Jesus forces the works of the flesh in remission. The blood of the Lamb attacks sin and chases it away. Sin retreats in the presence of the washing of the blood of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? The works of the flesh go into remission when the power of the blood drives them out. There is good reason for the enemy to fear the blood. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. We are saved. We are being saved. And we're going to be saved. He says in 1 John chapter number 5, he says, for this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him, in God, is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that powerful? I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I'm going to be saved. The flesh must go into remission. Sometimes cancer comes out of remission, doesn't it? Sometimes that flesh gets out of control. Sometimes we had to get back to that altar. Well, most of us, every day I repent. Now, I'm not saying I sin every day, but every day I cry out to God, if there's anything in this old heart, cleanse me, Lord. I want to make heaven. I want to make sure that I'm pure. And listen, you know what he does? He cleanses me every time. Every time I cry out to him in repentance, Jesus cleanses me in his blood. Are you perfect today, Brother Matt? No way. I'm striving. I'm striving to be more like Jesus. I'm striving to crucify this old flesh. This flesh sometimes, it usually gets out of control during the Christmas holidays on Broadway and Tyler. Am I the only one in this house that gets a little fleshly? Now, I don't have road rage. That's like another couple levels of the flesh. The blood of Jesus through repentance puts that flesh in remission. We have to constantly keep that blood applied to our heart. It's a very simple principle. I want to go back, and you've heard me make this point before. He said, stay in the house till morning. You remember in Matthew chapter 24 when he talked about the imminent sudden return of God? And if the goodman of the house sees that the Lord delays his coming, he begins to beat his men servant and he begins to do all these things and begin to eat and drink with the drunken. His master is going to come back in an hour that he thinks not. And he's going to appoint his portion, him, with the hypocrites. Where are they at? They didn't make it. What's the key here? You live your life like Jesus is coming back that day. Brother Matt, do I have to be perfect in every way? I believe the grace of God, he covers our imperfections. But the willful sin, the rebellious sin, you're walking out of that house that he told you to stay in till morning. Stay in the house till morning. It's not worth it. We are protected. Do you hear me? If you're a Christian today, you're walking with him, you are protected. Ain't no devil can destroy you. Not even a death angel from heaven can destroy you. Not even God's angel can cross the bloodline. Stay in the house till morning. Don't risk it. Don't get complacent. Don't get lethargic. Don't get cold. Don't become lukewarm. Stay in the house till morning. Let's live like he's coming back today. Here's how you can make sure you're ready. You can make sure you're ready every day by every decision you make. You're making it as if Jesus is coming back that night. There you go. I just solved all the problems for you. If you knew Jesus was coming back tonight, what would you do different? Can you think of some things? Well, sure you can. Can you think of, your mind would immediately go to the Word of God. He says, if I haven't forgiven my brother, he wouldn't forgive me. I need to call Aunt Sally. Oh, my goodness. She dried out the dressing on Thanksgiving. You argued over something silly. Get it right. Lift your hands to heaven. Worship him. Worship the Lord. His word has gone forth. He's speaking. If that's you, I want you to get out of your seat. You say, I'm away from God. I'm a sinner. I need to come back to God. God loves you. Thank you, ma'am. Come. Anyone else in this house, God wants to save you. He wants to wash you. Anyone else in this, do you feel the convicting work of the Holy Ghost? Maybe you've crossed the bloodline. You need to come back and get behind the bloodline today. Oh, the love of God is so rich and pure. There's nothing like his love. There's nothing like his forgiveness. Hallelujah. Anyone else in this house, you want to get it right with the Lord today? He's here to cleanse you and to wash you. I want everyone who can to come and find a place to pray. around these altars, these chairs. You can stand against the wall. Stay in the house till morning. Have you begun to compromise what you listen to? Have you begun to compromise what you watch, what you talk about, what you think about? Have you begun to ease up on those convictions that the Lord has dealt with you personally about? Today's the day to come back. Ask Him to cleanse you. Ask Him to wash you, and He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And just get back in that house and stay till morning. Oh, yes, Lord.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your side. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your side. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of life. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end.